the term, like sitting is the new smoking or something like that. And I would have to not agree with that. Sitting is supposed to be good, and it's supposed to be a regenerative position to be in for rest. And if you can't, I think we're maladapted to sitting though, because our tissues are dehydrated and we're in this kind of like nervous, twitchy state of being, right? And so our bodies are not reacting to the sitting enough to well enough to actually get the regenerative benefit of sitting.
Yeah.
So so would I recommend just sitting less or having a standing desk to solve that problem? No, I don't think so. I think you have to fix the biomechanics so that you can adapt to your environment better, right? So move better, more efficiently, and you rehydrate your tissues, then you're going to respond to sitting like much better.
Welcome to the Paris Hodges podcast, a space for conversations rooted in curiosity of these divinely created bodies we've been given and this human experience as a whole. This is a space where we will explore all the complexity and nuance of existing on this spinning rock, while I share story and dialogue with some individuals I consider to be great investigators of our bodies, many of which have had profound impact on my journey and understandings. I'm grateful you are here. Let's dive in. Greetings and hallucinations, friends. Welcome back to the Paris Hodges podcast. On today's episode, I am joined by Doug Maurer, who is an HBS1 certified functional patterns practitioner, who I have had the pleasure to work with one-on-one as a client of his. In 2017, Doug began his journey into the functional patterns methodology after practicing various other rehabilitation programs to alleviate his chronic body pains. When coming up short with these other programs, he then found functional patterns and immediately began to resolve the aches, the pains, as well as a whole gamut of digestive and gut health issues. As you will hear in this episode, Doug was one of those who experienced what is called being floxed by a common antibiotic. And all of these issues were impacting his ability to live a full life. What he experienced inspired him to further his learning and to begin his journey as a practitioner and share this work with others to resolve their chronic pains and movement dysfunctions. Functional patterns has helped me greatly in my path of rebuilding my body. In September of 2022, had a severely collapsed ilium. It was a third degree, and had been working with a chiropractor and knew that I needed additional support to really bring my body back into biomechanical original design. And Doug was a big support in that all. So for those of you who are interested in learning more about functional patterns or working with Doug directly one-on-one, you can find more information down in the show notes. And I look forward to you hearing how this modality could potentially support you on your own path. Enjoy. Welcome, Doug. It's great to have you. You are my first individual that I'm actually recording in person with. And I don't want to like set the tone of calling you a victim, but you are my first one. Congratulations.
I feel honored. Thank you.
And Doug and I met, so anyone that's listening to this, Doug is a functional patterns, do you call yourself practitioners?
Practitioner. Human biomechanics specialist.
That's a good one. Yeah. It's cool.
A little specific. So generally what I go with. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how functional patterns landed in my lap outside of, I think it might've been
Victor Elmer, who I released a recording with. I think he's episode number 5. And he is a doctor of chiropractic. And he might have been the one that originally told me about functional patterns. But knowing the relationship that I have with my body, and then what I was walking through in 2023, I like to call 2023 the year that I was like learning how to walk, talk, and be a human all over again. And functional patterns is...
That's what functional patterns is all about.
It's really great.
It's training for humans. So we look at all of our clients first as human beings and train them accordingly.
Yeah. How did you find functional patterns?
Oh, well, that's quite a long story, but so I guess I'll start at the beginning. So in my early 20s, I started having pretty severe back pain in the lumbar area. Mostly, I think it was related to occupational stuff. I worked in kitchens. So lots of punching over and lifting things awkwardly in like a tight, cramped walk-in, or looking down a lot and applying downward pressure, like, you know, cutting stuff with a knife or whatever it is. So and about lots of weird twisting in cramped spaces, pulling things out of ovens. And so that combined with all of the other injuries that I've had leading up to that, playing sports and just through the calamity of life.
Did you do a lot of sports growing up?
I did. And I played baseball, played hockey, played soccer, ran cross country. That was probably the most problematic one, just because of how they had us train.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of knee injuries?
Yes. No, like acute knee injuries. I think just wearing the knees down over time through poor movement patterns is why I experienced knee pain later in life. But I did have Osgood-Schlatter's disease. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but
I have. But can you explain it in case anybody's listening and doesn't know what it is?
Sure. So basically, what it is something that happens usually in adolescence, and it involves inflammation of the knee, or like right underneath the knee, like the top of the tibia. So I had swelling there, and it really hurt to touch. So I couldn't get down on my knees without putting pressure on that area. And it was just like excruciatingly painful. So I just would avoid that. It didn't really affect my movement all that much. I didn't feel it while I was in motion or standing up or anything like that. It's mostly just hurts to touch. Really weird. But during cross country, they would have us doing things like, regular stretching routines. And I wouldn't be able to do them because my legs would shake so much. And I had the worst shin splints imaginable. Because our training basically consists of running. We did like some stuff in the weight room. But other than that, we'd just run and then run some more. So our practices would look like maybe all of us getting in a line, and then the guy in the back has to sprint and then pass everybody. You know, are you
familiar? Oh, I know this one.
Yeah, so it sprints to the front. And then when he gets to the front, he or she gets to the front, the guy in the next one in the back has to sprint and pass everybody.
So I have PTSD from doing those
in
high school and elementary school.
Yeah, I mean, I actually enjoyed them in cross country. Played to the extremist in me because it gave me a chance to just kind of turn off my mind and then just power through, which in retrospect probably wasn't very good for me because Well, there wasn't a lot of technique involved in our practice or our training. So I was never given any real instruction as to how I should be running or what kind of supplementary training to do. So I didn't really know, like I didn't like the idea of good running form was something I'd never really even heard of. So it would never occur to me that I wasn't running, right? It's either you're like running fast or not fast enough or whatever it is. So yeah, every day at practice, pretty much I'd be in searing pain until pretty much until you get warmed up. I don't know if you've ever been just like so sore and stiff and locked up that and just dehydrated in your tissues that you can't really move very well until you run like a mile or two, and then you just kind of go numb and can do it just fine.
This sounds so similar to what I experienced in high school, like when I eventually ended up having the fasciotomy, like the compartmental syndrome, because I was so locked up and like if my fascial network was completely calcified, and I would become numb. And then it got to the point, though, for me personally, it got to that point where it was like particularly like life-threatening.
Oh, geez.
Just a little lightness in this conversation, but no, I totally understand what you're describing of that. So you went from that in high school, the cross country season, and then where did you go next that led you into functional patterns?
Okay, well, from there, I kind of went into so after high school, I trained I started doing things like weightlifting and more running and stuff like that. So pretty much as far as athletics go, they kind of stop after high school, as far as team sports and stuff like that goes, and then it just be kind of becomes a hobby. And then I just kind of go about my life doing blue collar type jobs. So a lot of labor intensive stuff. And like I was saying, by my 20s, I was pretty messed up. And by my late 20s, I pretty much had to start thinking about a career change, because I was starting to miss work and be out for long periods of time. So I'd throw my back out and have sciatica flare-ups. So it would be so bad that I wouldn't even be able to lift up the toilet seat on my own, and I'd be
Oh, wow.
dragging my legs and crawling around.
Holy cow. Isn't that almost nearly like polio in a way?
I
Like
mean,
in the leg dragging?
I in that you feel almost paralyzed, kind of. Yeah, but it's mostly due to the like the pain signals.
Fascinating.
You kind of just limit your ranges of motion because you don't want to feel the pain. And so naturally things like sleep are nearly impossible because you can't really find a comfortable position and stuff like that. So I had to go searching for a way to fix it. So on a lot of the more conventional routes, like I tried Bikram yoga and did that for several years, and it helped a little bit in some ways, and in some ways not. And then doing things like CrossFit, or I hired a personal trainer to help me out, and they had me do quote unquote like functional movements, like a compound movements, like doing back squats and deadlifts and stuff like that, and more and things like Turkish get-ups and kettlebell swings. and all of that stuff, which is that was kind of my introduction into the world of like myofascial release and like functional training. So that had diminishing returns as well, and I ended up injuring myself even worse. I remember one time I was in the middle of a training session and not feeling super good with my back, having problems at work still, and my trainer was having me do interval training flipping a tire. So I would do like 30 seconds of deadlifting this tire and flipping it over, and then taking probably like 20 seconds to rest, and then doing it again. And I ended up tweaking my back really bad and was out for months and months. So I began to think like, okay, maybe this isn't maybe I'm just not going to be able to do this. Like maybe I'm just too broken to even be able to exercise at all, and kind of like giving up hope there. And then kind of goes in ebbs and flows. When you start to feel better, you gain confidence back, and that kind of goes like that. So I was still doing that training, and I got in a car accident, or I was hit by a car
Oh,
and kind
wow.
of like destroyed my shoulder. Had like a full lateral tear of the labrum in my right shoulder. And so I was out of the game again and had to kind of figure out what to do. So just like when I was, I didn't even get into the gut infection.
Oh wow, so that was also happening simultaneously. So you had a
Yeah, this
gut.
kind of happened in, let me try to think of the timeline here. So it happened after the shoulder injury,
Got it.
or yeah, after the shoulder injury. So, as I'm recovering from that, yeah, I have a gut infection from,
Makes total
yeah,
sense.
it was like there was a Campylobacter outbreak from, I'm not gonna, I won't mention the specific company that makes raw milk,
Oh,
but
shoot, really?
yeah, so there was a known outbreak of that, and I got really, really sick, and I don't think the main, like the lasting effect came mostly from the infection itself. It was more the side effects of taking ciprofloxacin. You ever heard of
Oh,
that?
yeah. I took Cipro at one point in time. I have lots of clients that took it and have had like
Yeah, I took one dose and I got phlox, as they say. And oh man, so my hair started falling out. I had symptoms like similar to I thought it was like Guillain-Barré syndrome. I think that's how they pronounce it. And I just figured that out by doing my own research or whatever. So I didn't know what it was, and I was trying to convince my doctor that I had Guillain-Barré syndrome because that's what I kind of thought it was. I was having like paralysis in my limbs. And like urinary incontinence, and yeah, like weird, like really intense heart arrhythmias and stuff like that, and like numbness in my fingers and toes, and I don't know, a lot of different stuff.
Just the whole gamut.
Yeah, so
And
there wasn't really a lot I could do until I found another gym. So once I won't even get into how I figured out how to fix the gut and the all the weird inflammatory stuff that was going on with my body. I mean, that kind of came with doing functional patterns.
I mean,
So
that's
it
what
all
I was
started
gonna
kind of coming together.
assume. Yeah.
Yeah. So from there, I found a gym where they were doing things a little bit different. So they weren't promoting lifting heavy weights or anything like that. They were more about doing movements that were kind of specific to like evolutionary biology. So like standing, walking, running, and throwing. They weren't a functional patterns gym, but they were kind of on that same wavelength. And then I met a trainer there who is a big honcho dude. His name's Pablo. Shout out Pablo. Pablo Martin at Functional Patterns. He put me onto that. So from there, I hired a guy named Charlie Black, who was another trainer, young dude who was just figuring it out as well.
Where
And
was this?
this was here in Sac.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was here in
Interesting.
Sacramento. And so I worked with him just out of his garage for several years.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so from there, we just did, as he was learning, he was teaching me stuff. So I was like his first, regular client. And he tested everything out on me. And we kind of learned about the process together. And from there, I decided I got to get certified.
Well, can I pause you for a second? What sort of been like knowing where you were at that point in time when you found this new way? What sort
Kind
of,
of glossed over it.
yeah,
Sorry.
what, no, you're good. What kind of things did you begin to notice and shift and change like for you that then made you go like, oh, this is the thing that I want to study more to be able to help people with?
So, well, for one thing, my pain started disappearing, which is number one. It's the reason I got into it to begin with. And then I just started feeling better in general. So my gut pain started going away, started having better digestion. Now taking solid poops for once in years. And that just comes from just training my body differently and just approaching training and health from an entirely different perspective. But maybe I should say a little bit about like what functional patterns actually
That
is.
could be helpful, but that's so. I just want to pause you for a second because one of the things that I think is really important that can be missed by a lot of people is how our digestion and gut really is connected to our lymphatic flow, which has everything to do with our biomechanics also.
Yeah, I mean, it's all interconnected. So everything down to body language and behavior, that's biomechanics too. It's kind of where it all begins right there. Where was I?
You were getting into what is functional patterns.
Okay. So this is the short version of it.
Cool.
Again, it can be kind of
We have all
convoluted.
the time in the world, Doug.
So functional patterns is training the body. It's applying physics to the human body in order to gain competence in the most fundamental movements of the human body does. So we orient that around the big four: standing, walking, running, and throwing. So from a like an anthropological standpoint, those are the things that our bodies have like evolved to prioritize doing, right? So we're bipedal. So obviously standing is going to be really important. Posture is really important.
Do you know the gene that makes us bipedal?
The gene, the specific gene? No, I
It's
don't.
called the Sonic the Hedgehog gene.
The Sonic the Hedgehog gene.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my
Very
favorite little
interesting.
fact. Anyways, go on.
I did not know that. Thank you. That's interesting.
Stick it in your back pocket.
And so, walking, running, obviously we had to eat. So, we chase our food down and have to hunt it, right? And so we would have to have some endurance and some efficiency in our running in order to keep up with whatever we're tracking to get some food. At least our ancestors had to do that. And then I surmise that we probably used like spears or something like that, slings to hurl projectiles at our food to kill it. So we, to stay competitive, would have to have evolved to be good at that as well. So training our body to do all those things is how we get regeneration. So, yeah, that's biomechanics. We essentially are we're gaining competency in the most relevant ranges of motion. And I guess that's the most succinct as I can make it there.
Yeah, no, it's a good way to like put what functional patterns is, which is in part why I was drawn to functional patterns when I was like in this lifespan of unwinding like those non-preferential pathways that I had been utilizing for most of my life, that I had discovered or been led to, I don't remember exactly, to functional patterns. And one of the things that I found to be really, really fascinating, because I having had an experienced an eating disorder for the length of time that I did, I paid a lot of attention to my body, and then being a Division I track and cross country runner, I would also like we were constantly analyzing our gait and our running form. But the more that I started to learn about unwinding trauma too, I could start to see my actual life patterns played out in the biomechanics of my body. That when after finally experiencing cancer in 2019 and then going through the rock bottom and like the rebuilding of my entire life from like the cellular level up, I knew that learning how to walk appropriately and like hold my body appropriately and then be able to run again appropriately was going to be something that needed to be done by somebody else that wasn't just like me inside of my body, which is why I was ended up being guided into functional patterns, because it's really fascinating. If you go to the Instagram account, I love watching the Instagram videos of people who come in with things like Parkinson's or having had polio or major degrees of scoliosis, and their bodies get put back into shape. And it's
Yes.
the coolest thing in the entire world.
Yes, that's what we do. Generally, when you come in to see a biomechanics specialist or a functional patterns practitioner, that's the first thing we do is take a look at your posture and do an assessment of that, and followed by a gait assessment as well. So we'll put you on a treadmill and film you in slow motion, and
Just
then
the most like
it,
eerie. I disdain that part of it, but it's really necessary. It's really cool to
yeah,
watch.
that's part of it. You have to kind of be confronted with the truth of what you look like. So when I'm training on my own, I can do an exercise or implement a technique and then feel like I did a pretty good job. Generally, I can tell if something doesn't feel quite right, but the mirror or the camera doesn't lie. So a big part of being a good trainer is, or being of training yourself well is being honest with yourself
Ooh.
enough to
Tell
look
me
in the
about
mirror,
this.
literally look in the mirror and watch yourself do the exercises, and yeah, kind of be appalled with what you see, and go back to the drawing board and make the corrections. And that's what we do with your gait. So we look at what you do well, and we look at what you where the deficiencies are in your movement and in your structure in general. And then we work when we start the training, we prioritize those things that we identified, right? So let's say you are stuck in like the the anterior chain of your body, like a very like quad dominant runner, or you have like an anterior pelvic shift and an anterior pelvic tilt. So that's when
I think
you're
this is me.
it's most people, honestly. Obviously not everybody, but most people have this going on to a certain degree because of the positions that we adapt to, or maladapt to, like sitting while in a stressed out position, in a stressed out state of being, essentially. Because sitting, maybe you've heard the term, like sitting is the new smoking, or something like that. And I would have to not agree with that. Sitting is supposed to be good, and it's supposed to be a regenerative position to be in for rest. And if you can't, I think we're maladapted to sitting though, because our tissues are dehydrated, and we're in this kind of like nervous, twitchy state of being, right? And so our bodies are not reacting to the sitting enough to well enough to actually get the regenerative benefit of sitting. So would I recommend just sitting less, or having a standing desk to solve that problem? No, I don't think so. I think you have to fix the biomechanics so that you can adapt to your environment better, right? So move better, more efficiently, and you rehydrate your tissues, then you're going to respond to sitting like much better. I think I got off track a little bit there. We
No,
were
that
talking
was.
about doing gait assessment. Oh yeah, and looking in the mirror. I've officially derailed. So what's
No,
next?
that was all perfect, and right on track. Because I think, and you named some parts that I hope people really hear too about the level of honesty, needed to get ourselves into different neurological pathways also, which allows us to meet different versions of life. One thing that I would be curious that I don't know if Nadi's ever done is like look at like the life, almost like from a life coaching type of stance of like what people were able to do in their life after doing functional patterns that they weren't able to achieve previously, either like having difficult conversations or
Certainly, if you look at their social media and you go through some of the testimonials of people, various people who have been helped by functional patterns, they'll have all kinds of stories. But like personally, I can attest that that happened with me.
Yeah, what
So,
happened?
you can probably tell by like my speech patterns and stuff like that trailing off and whatnot that I tend to have a like stuttering and there's a like broken speech patterns. And they tend to get better when when I'm able to interact with my environment better, or like adapt to my environment better. So the better my biomechanics are doing, the less I experience those symptoms.
Interesting. Did you stutter a lot as a kid?
I did stutter a lot as a kid, and I still do to a certain extent. It's way better, but
That's
yeah, I
so
don't know, the
cool.
classic diagnoses of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, learning disability, and all of that. So I wasn't like a terrible student, but I think it was I think I was better at just kind of faking. And so I would I was really good at like cheating on tests, or just learning just enough to be able to get the grade. But not actually understand the material that I'm supposed to be learning.
Yeah, that's
So.
so fascinating for like to think of from that aspect too, that I hadn't yet completely correlated. I mean, I've known it, but not just like fully around like the functional patterns piece of it, which makes perfect sense because I was diagnosed with dyslexia, a form of dyslexia, when I was in elementary school. And like you were naming perfectly, like there's these levels of masks that those of us who had those types of, you know, given diagnoses when we were in elementary school, who may have struggled more on a focus level, that were clearly experiencing like biomechanical like issues from, I mean, and I could get into like
Yeah.
really deep mineral understandings of why that happened, but I think you named it perfectly of like so many of us, our tissues are dehydrated. Like that is a really great, super simplistic way to name that, that end up contributing to these secondary, I like to refer to them as secondary healing mechanisms or secondary mechanical mechanisms. They're not the preferable form that our bodies, like they're not our original design, but they are maladaptive or they're adaptive strategies to keep us safe. To keep us safe, which is what masks realistically are. So then we wear these masks in our life and they show up in our body biomechanically to how we like walk and how we move, and they're though very brilliant protective mechanisms, at some point in time we do have to teach the body how to do things differently.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's a very good point. I think I was maladapted to the environment of the classroom, for instance.
I think most
There's a
kids are.
lot wrong with it. For one thing, I grew up in a cold climate where it's cold and dark in mid-Michigan. So for one thing, the light environment was a little jacked up. So we don't go outside very much during the day, especially in the winter, which is long. So we're not really getting enough physical activity outdoors. We had gym class, which was done under blue light and in a gym indoors. And that's about it though. And then pretty much confined to a desk most of the day where I'm not able to sit still, and all I really wanted to do was get up and move around, which is where the I think the hyperactivity and a diagnosis tends to come from. I don't think that most kids are meant to be sitting in a class learning like boring stuff, quite frankly, boring stuff for that many hours of the day. So that's one thing. I
Well, and
think
then
that
when
was kind of
you
making me sick in a way. And then later on came like the stimulant medications and all of that stuff, which kind of contributed to the problem overall, which is that I was a very like nervous, twitchy individual, and I didn't sleep very well. So once I started improving my biomechanics, just adapting better. The sleep hygiene kind of came along for the ride. And then prioritizing sleep as well. I mean, if that's just another part of functional patterns, it's not just the movements, it's not just the exercise. In fact, yeah, that's part of it for sure, but ultimately, it's behaviors. It's like behavioralism. So, going outside and getting sun, doing things like grounding and hydrating, eating foods that make sense for our biology, and sleep hygiene, are all accounted for. If it contributes to regeneration, then functional patterns probably accounts for it in some way in our training and through our advice.
Yeah.
to people. So that was a big one for me, though, is fixing the or at least improving the sleep dysfunction, because I think that that's a major part of why ADHD is such like an epidemic. I think that might even be what it is disordered sleep.
I actually would agree with this because of the glymphatic system not being able to do what it needs to do to like clean the brain. And then you get like all of this static and like chatter.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't sleep, your brain just doesn't work very well. And that's what I noticed when I've had a very good night's sleep. I don't stutter as much. I'm able to maintain my train of thought for much longer. And, words just kind of come to me instead of blanking. And, yeah, I'm just able to like stay engaged with my environment better and for longer and take in more information. And overall, the brain just functions 10 times better. And it's all because of just getting a good night's sleep. And all it takes is one bad night's sleep to for those things to resurface again. And so I think that prioritizing sleep was like a major part of being able to, achieve good results with doing functional patterns myself.
Yeah. One thing I want to circle it back to, you mentioned, you brought up the idea around, well, it reminded me of a quote that says that people don't choose their futures, they choose their habits, and their habits choose their futures. And I think about that too from a biomechanical standpoint. And one of the things that I love watching about people in like the testimonials that you were talking about is just the vast spectrum of individuals who are able to achieve results because of how it's really easy to fall into the trap or the belief system that somebody's just getting old, right? Like we write them off at some point in time. We see this creeping up at younger ages where people believe that they're in perimenopause in their 40s or they're no longer fertile in their 40s, which is absolute insanity because fertility has everything to do with regeneration and relationship with the body. It's not a medical condition, right? So the thing that I find to be really fascinating about functional patterns is how that it can actually improve the life expectancy of a person, as well as the life, what's the word that I'm looking for? Quality of life
Quality of life, yeah.
for people that have been given like these, quote unquote, irreversible diagnoses. And you see these individuals with like Parkinson's who can barely walk. And then they come in and they do functional patterns and it's almost as though it doesn't exist in their system anymore because their bodies are able to actually come into a state of homeostasis.
Absolutely, yeah. Functional patterns is for everybody. Not just, because I think that when you look at some of the things in the social media that show, fancy movements that look complicated, and you see super jacked dudes or whatever doing these movements, that oh, I can't do that because, I'm not an athlete, or I have some kind of a disability, or some kind of horrific injury or something like that. But that's far from the truth, actually. In fact, like most functional patterns practitioners who are, they're not like genetically gifted people, right? They weren't necessarily born with the ability to adapt to all kinds of crazy movements like dunking a basketball or sprinting like Usain Bolt. And most of us can't do that. And most FP practitioners have similar stories to mine. They were dealing with something that they had to overcome and had success doing it and wanted to continue to help other people achieve the same thing. So I don't think functional patterns really attracts like gifted athletes very much because they're not really it doesn't maybe to somebody like that it wouldn't necessarily make sense yet.
I like that you say yet.
Well, after the football career is over, you're left with residual injuries and head injuries or just joint pains and back stuff and that require now just to kind of regain your quality of life and to be able to move like throughout old age, that's when you would that's when an athlete would probably be moved to try something like functional patterns. That isn't to say that there aren't some athletes out there who get it and can see how training this way can will enhance their athletic performance without compromising like compressing the spine or anything like that by doing like heavy lifts and stuff like that. So there's definitely some more and more athletes out there who are figuring this out and coming to FP to
Cool.
gain an advantage there and get better at their sport. But I would say the majority of what at least comes my way is older folks or people with similar problems to my own. Who are just trying to get through life and do their job or whatever it is and do so like out of pain and actually feeling good. So that's who can be helped by FPs, literally everybody. But yeah, we typically tend to attract people who find us out of desperation. Which is good though, because I think then even getting them a little bit of relief is going to go a long way, right? Whereas, like I don't think a grandma is gonna go into a a weight room and do some like functional lifts or functional compound movements and be able to get out of pain. That's just not realistic. So we meet people where they're at, and just train them the same as we would anybody else, like a human. Because essentially we're all humans. There's old humans, there's Black humans, there's Asian humans, there's gay humans, but at its core, at our core, we're all pretty much designed to do the same things. So training the body accordingly is what is going to lead to regeneration, no matter like where you're at in your life's cycle of life or like in your healing process.
Yeah, that was so good, Doug. Perfect. I don't think I have anything else to add to that. That was, I mean, that is the core of it. The one thing that I will mention too for people who are listening to this, just to reiterate some points that you have made around why it's better to work with an actual functional patterns practitioner as opposed to just trying to go out and do a lot of these things on your own, is that just like in any aspect of our life, we can't see our own blind spots. And there was a lot that I learned that my body was doing, because we didn't quite mention this before, but and before we hit record, when we were talking about how I got guided to functional patterns, is September of 2022, it felt like my left hip was dislocated when I was doing a bunch of stuff, and I was working
Yes.
with a chiropractor, and it felt like he for his practice and his knowledge wanted me on a really like rigorous training schedule. And at some point I was like, there's something that's missing for me within my healing journey. And that was, you know, coming to functional patterns and having like my gait and form like actually analyzed, and then beginning to like, you know, feel the difference in my body that can only come from being walked through proper form with somebody else who can see it from the outside, who can like actually see the blind spots
Yes.
that you can't. That's different than like the grandma going to the gym to try
Sure.
to like start lifting. And that's the other thing, is that you all don't do lifts. You're not doing deadlifts and everything. And that's also a really cool thing. If people look at the Instagram account, is there's people who show that the only thing they do is functional patterns, and the way that their musculature system comes online, or the way that, you know, body fat like comes off their body once they're able to
Yes.
actually like hold their lymphatic system and their digestive system properly, and what that ends up doing to the entire system.
Right. Yeah, so you mentioned it'd be good to have a another set of eyes or a trained set of eyes to be able to like identify your deficiencies and kind of help you figure out ways to work on those specific things. However, part of being a functional patterns practitioner is giving your client or to being a good practitioner is to be able to give your client the confidence and the ability and the knowledge to teach them to be able to start to identify those things on their own. It's why a lot of people who start functional patterns end up, getting certified and becoming practitioners, because it's like once you get to a certain point, it's like, whoa, this is like really valuable knowledge. And you start to want to kind of share it with people you care about. It's kind of, that's how I started teaching family and friends who had similar problems. Sharing my knowledge with them. But that's what it is. You should be your own practitioner to a certain degree, because you're not always going to be have somebody there to be watching you. So to learn to be good at pattern recognition and identify when something just kind of doesn't quite look right, just understanding like what neutral looks like what a neutral spine is, and getting a sense for like when like flexion or extension of the spine is appropriate, or just like what joint stacking looks like as well. As a part of doing FP, you should be like learning how to identify all those things on your own. So there is a 10-week online course that if someone's like look, maybe doesn't have access to a practitioner, which a lot of them do virtual sessions. So there's a lot of options for being able to get connected with that. But I would recommend everybody to do the 10-week online course, because it starts from square one pretty much with myofascial release. So pretty much gets you to start with a clean slate. So you're going through and you're finding all of the areas of calcification, dehydration in your fascia by kind of systematically and intentionally going through all the different releases in like a specific prescribed order, so that pretty much everything is addressed. And then once you have kind of cleaned all of that up, you can it goes into like basic corrective exercises that are going to get things like your core integrated, like your deep core, like the transverse abdominis. And then building on that by getting like the thoracic spine to be able to extend better, or starting to develop more like glute-based strength. So once you kind of get that like triangle of stability there, that solves a lot of problems in and of itself. So
What kind of problems does it solve? Just for my like more layman individuals who might not know, because I know we can speak this language and understand some of those things, but what would be like the base things that would be solved
I
by?
think most pain issues that would relate to your fascial system, right? Or like your joints. So like myself, lower back pain or knee pain, grinding, clicking of the joints like that, or like neck pain because you have like kyphoscoliosis going on, or if you just look in the mirror and you're like, I don't like the way that looks, I'm all like hunched over. And but generally, I would say what drives most people to want to do this is the pain. We don't want to feel the pain, and that generally like the body telling us that we telling you what it wants, right, or what it needs to get homeostasis again, right? So basically any ailment, in my opinion, could be at least addressed to a certain degree by going through the basic corrective exercises of the 10-week online course, right? So it covers like pretty much everything that you would need. And a lot of there's a lot of results out there from that you can go and see that are people who have like just done that on their own and managed to solve the problems on their own without the help of a practitioner at all. What I would definitely recommend going out and hiring a practitioner, because you're going to get like the best feedback, and you're probably going to advance quicker throughout the process because it can be more like targeted and specific to what you need. Going through something like the online program is kind of just going to be an overall like going through and addressing like anything that could be going wrong by pinpointing like the major like points of stability in the body, right? Which is going to be core function. So a transverse abdominis that works better. So that's like that basically the first layer of muscle tissue in your core. So it's like what the like the rectus abdominis, like the six-pack muscles in your obliques go on top of. So it's a basically like a corset that provides stability for the spine, right? And most of us have a deficiency there because we've adapted probably like to the seated position. It kind of disengages when we're resting like that. And we don't really do much to switch it on and through most conventional forms of training. So there's that. And then there's glute function. So I would say most people that I see are they're like quad dominant. So they're kind of like stuck in the front chain. When they walk, their hips are shifted forward, or they'll kind of like translate laterally or something like that. They just won't have like a lumbopelvic hip complex that responds well to the foot striking the ground, because it'll be like out of position. And that generally, for most people, it means it's like shifted too far forward versus like with a rib cage is kind of tilted back, right? So learning to or training your body to like drive from the posterior chain, from like the glutes and the hamstrings, in order to produce some locomotion is like another step in the process there. So it's another area of deficiency that pretty much across the board you can identify in people.
I know I have
So it's
this
really
one.
quite an experience. Yeah, exactly. So maybe you remember we were doing a like a corrective exercise at some point, and then feeling your glutes kind of connect in a way that you haven't really experienced them in a long time, or if ever,
Yeah.
right? It's a pretty cool feeling. It feels amazing. And so that's that's essentially what we're doing though. We're going through and finding pieces of the body that aren't really integrated with the rest in your movement, and then we're trying to find ways to specifically target them to integrate them. So we're not like doing what do you call it? We're not isolating certain muscles or muscle groups. We're finding ways to take that area of deficiency and then integrate it with the rest of the system there. So basically using chain you've heard of Thomas Myers, the anatomy trains kind of came up with all those like myofascial meridians or like myofascial sling systems. So they're basically just chains of muscles that work together to perform certain functions. So you got like a deep front line, you have lateral lines, your functional lines, that
I hadn't
make you
heard of
rotate
him
and
specifically, but I mean, I've heard this concept discussed in many different like forms of, truth that makes its way around the world. But the thing that I think is really important that you're highlighting also is just the fact that no system in the body functions in isolation, nor can it like be brought back online in isolation too. We have to figure out how the ecosystem, we bring communication to the entire ecosystem so that everything can actually like those, what would that like a board I know what I can see it in my head, but it's like just getting the all of the neurological pathways back online together. It just
The
bringing.
neurological pathways for sure, and the like the myofascial pathways as well.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's everything's integrated, and there's no isolation here. So yeah, we're basically training the brain to make things happen in the body. And we're using like our inputs through the like the targeted mechanotransduction essentially.
Such good words. Switchboard. That's what I was trying to think of.
switchboard, yes. So we're using the like physical inputs in order to make those things happen, right? And what do we base those on? The gait cycle generally. So, or throwing mechanics. So again, the things that the body prioritizes doing.
Yeah.
So our kind of our evolutionary blueprint.
Yeah, so good. And one thing too that you and I had discussed before we close out, back when I was training with you, is that I think you and I had discussed it about how we are created in a spiral. And that's part of what we end up doing is like reversing the spiral.
Yeah, so that's a good way of putting it. I think okay, so getting into like spiral malformation, right? So all humans we deal with gravity, and it pushes down on us all the time, and it compresses our spine, right?
I
And the
feel like I should
spine
start
doesn't
playing that like John Mayer song about gravity. Sorry, I
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, we don't, we, it's relatable. We all deal with gravity and, its compression on our bodies and on our spine. Right now, the spine, it doesn't just kind of accordion because of the pressure on it. It actually kind of like a twist in one direction or the other. Everybody has somewhat of a scoliotic curve to their spine if you were to look at it closely enough. And as practitioners, we can generally identify what someone's scoliosis looks like by looking at the position of their rib cage and their hips, and looking at the spine and stuff like that, and watching like how they leverage their movements, which is where the spiraling comes into play. You'll notice somebody like rotating with their rib cage more to the right than they do the left, for instance, while we're analyzing their gait. And that's one way of kind of identifying it. But we all kind of like leverage our spiral tendencies one way or the other. So are we going to be able to like decompress your spine by or in your body in general by just reinforcing your tendency to spiral one way? No, actually, we're going to have to find ways to get you to kind of uncrinkle the can by spiraling in the opposite direction. That's kind of a very like simplistic way of looking at what we do, but there it is right there.
It's so cool. It's actually really cool to me because we are built that way. And I can see this in myself
Yeah,
too.
we're
And
built
just
that way and we move that way as well. So you'll start to see spirals in everybody's movement when you put them on a treadmill or when you see them play a sport.
so
Yeah.
interesting.
If you know where to look for them.
Well,
Yeah.
so good.
Yeah.
Doug, where can people find you?
I work if you want to find me locally, I work at Functional Patterns Sacramento. We have a website. It's functionalpatternssacramento.com. And then find me on Instagram. It's Douglas, Douglas underscore mower, mower. And that's it. That's I don't you know that's my social media right there. So
Perfect. And they'll be all linked below in the show notes. Thank you so much, Doug, for your time. I'm sure that you and I could like really continue this train of unwinding the human body and biomechanics for quite a long time. But
absolutely.
yeah, is there anything you have that you would like to share with people before we close out? Like any last remaining thoughts? Like what's the one thing that you hope people take away from this all?
Once again, functional patterns is for everybody. So if I would encourage anybody to go out there and check it out. Maybe start with just kind of browsing the social media so you can see all of the different people who have been helped by this. They're cranking out more and more every day. So it doesn't really matter what your specific ailment is. I don't think there's anything that couldn't be improved by improving your biomechanics because it all starts with biomechanics, I think. It's a way for you to just take action and start doing something about whatever your situation is. And there is not much barrier to entry. It can look a little bit intimidating if you don't know where to start. So in the 10-week online course is a great place to consider starting. Or if you're lucky enough to have a functional patterns practitioner near you, then absolutely hit them up and set up a consultation with them at least, and have a conversation with them and see what they can do for you. They'll probably blow your mind, honestly, and you'll feel good about what you'll be able to get out of training with them. And by addressing your biomechanics. So Just don't be afraid to try it out. It's for everybody.
Sweet. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
And there you have it, friends. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. If you would like to learn more about functional patterns or how to work with Doug one-on-one, you can find his information linked below. Also, if you are interested in collaborating on your own health journey, you can find me on Instagram at Paris with two R's and five underscores, or over at school period of period the period sacred, which is where I will be posting a lot more of my direct work on how to bring harmony to your hormones and rebalancing your life to its original design. I will also have a couple of ebooks available here shortly for purchase. So stay on the lookout, and until next time, be blessed and be beautiful.